You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It's the final podcast of July 2019, which means we are 1 month closer to the start of the 2019-2020 season. August is really a month dominated by football. Training camps are underway. NFL preseason begins. It's a dull month for me. Personally, it's my least favorite month out of the year. That's not a slight at football. Just to me, it's the most boring month of the year. We get into September time, and it doesn't mean basketball's back by any means. But September is when training camps, NBA training camps begin, and preseason really starts to get going. Of course, we then get into October, which is the best month of the year. Why? Because football's in full swing, baseball is in playoff time, and of course, the NBA season is getting ready to begin. So let's get through this month of August together. Thank you for going through July with me. It's been a fun month here on the Locked On Kings podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome into Locked On Kings. This is your hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all offseason long. If you're looking for in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, highlights, interviews with all the local and national experts, this is the place for you. All centered around your Sacramento Kings. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. I'm from Sports 1140 KHDK. That's the flagship radio station of the Kings in Sacramento. I work there as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist and reporter. Over the last couple of weeks, I've been doing a series called the Wild West Series, where I've been having a couple of guests come into the studio or join me via phone, and we've gone through the Western Conference standings last year and decided what teams the Kings are really going to compete against to find a playoff spot and make their way into the playoff picture. And one of the teams specifically that we keep talking about, both on KHDK and on the Locked On Kings podcast, as a real contender for the Kings to battle with to try and steal away their playoff spot, is the San Antonio Spurs. And I was getting that consistent theme not just through my guests here, but like I mentioned, also through KHDK conversations, and then just conversations with you fans. I've gotten hundreds of emails from you throughout the course of this summer, and most of them are mentioning the San Antonio Spurs as a team you think the Kings can catch. So I thought, you know, why not dive into that more specifically, but get the San Antonio perspective on everything. So on today's podcast, I'm going to be joined by Jeff Garcia. He's the San Antonio Spurs beat writer for News 4 and Fox 29 in San Antonio. He is also the host of the Locked On Spurs podcast. Does a fantastic job there. Is a great listen, a great guest. So I'm going to be playing that conversation for you in just a little bit. Before we do that, though, I also wanted to let you know that there is an article that is going to be released on KHDK.com today, later on today, and it just is a more in-depth piece that I wrote about specifically why this season isn't playoffs or bust for the Kings. And I know many of you disagree with that. You're thinking that I know for a fact we all will be disappointed if the Kings don't make the playoffs by the end of this year. But in that article, I lay out very specific reasons as to why I personally do not believe that it is a playoffs or bust for the Kings, and it's all filled with positives. It's filled with good news that you do not have to, or good news that you essentially can carry through this next season, because there are going to be times of hardship. This team is, quite frankly, not at the point that we can just expect good things throughout an entire season. There are going to be points where we're scratching our heads or maybe frustrated from time to time. So be aware of that. Check out that article. It is going to be available later on today, depending upon when you're listening to this podcast today, which is Tuesday, on KHDK.com. That's where I and the rest of my digital team at KHDK release all of our content. So be sure to make that also part of your repertoire for Kings news and Kings reading. Be sure to support Locked On Kings and support Manscaping, as they are supporting Locked On Kings. They're number one in men's below the belt grooming. You may have seen them on Shark Tank. Manscaping offers precision engineering tools for your family jewels. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code LOCKEDON at manscaped.com. That's 20% off at manscaped.com with promo code LOCKEDON. Take advantage of that deal. That's a fantastic product that I use, and I think you should be a part of as well. Again, that's an amazing deal to get 20% off. It's really some fantastic savings. More than worth it. Check out manscaping.com. And again, when you head to their website, enter the code LOCKEDON. You will get 20% off. We also want to let you know that NBA player and Locked On podcast analyst Trevor Booker joined Monday's Locked On NBA. He broke down the deals and left one team out as a title contender that will surprise you. And he's really high on one team than more than others in the West. Could that team be the Sacramento Kings? You'll have to listen for yourself. The Locked On NBA podcast on Monday, which was yesterday's podcast. Go and check that out. Take a listen. I already have. It is a very, very entertaining listen. I appeared on the Locked On NBA podcast last Monday. So hopefully you've heard that and you are a part of the Locked On NBA listenership like I am and like everybody should be here on the Locked On Podcast Network. No more of myself wasting time. It's time for my conversation with Jeff Garcia from San Antonio. Do the Spurs take the Kings seriously as a threat to take their playoff spot? Why don't you hear it directly from Jeff here next on Locked On Kings. We're calling it the Wild West for a reason next season, as all 15 teams in the Western Conference, maybe not all 15, have a chance to really make some noise, but all 15, in my opinion, will be entertaining to watch for different reasons. The Sacramento Kings right now have the longest playoff drought in the NBA currently, going on 13 seasons. They are very confident that this could be the year that they end it. However, finding a spot in that playoff picture is not going to be easy. I've spent some time on the Locked On Kings podcast going through and finding what teams the Kings could potentially replace in the playoff picture, last year's playoff picture, that is, and which teams specifically are the Kings going to be battling it out with. And throughout a lot of the conversations that I've had with listeners, with hosts on KHDK, and with people here on this very podcast, one team in particular continues to come up as the major team that the Kings will be competing with for a playoff spot, and that's the San Antonio Spurs. So I thought, what better to do than to get the Spurs perspective on the entire thing? I am joined right now by Jeff Garcia. He is the host of the Locked On Spurs podcast, but that's not all. He's also the San Antonio Spurs beat writer for News 4 and Fox 29 in San Antonio. So he's very well connected into this organization and into this franchise. He'll be able to provide a lot of great perspective of what they're doing. And we'll really get to hash out this conversation of how competitive these two teams could potentially be in looking at the playoff picture all the way into next spring and next summertime. Jeff, thank you so much for joining me. It's a pleasure to speak with you, and hopefully we're entering in a very entertaining and exciting 2019-2020 season.
Hey, thanks for having me on. And yes, it looks like the NBA season that's right ahead of us is going to be quite exciting, but you're absolutely right. Spurs and Kings, they seem to be the two teams that are at least projected to be fighting it out in the bottom half of the Western Conference race, with San Antonio even making it out of the playoffs, according to some prognosticators, at least on their very early season projections. So I'm kind of taken aback by that, and obviously I do not agree with that. I think the Spurs will be in the postseason 100%.
It's so difficult to pick against Greg Popovich and to pick against the San Antonio Spurs. And Jeff, I don't know if it's the same for you and for the fans in San Antonio. I assume they have more faith in their organization than many of us do around the world. But it feels like every single year we keep pegging the San Antonio Spurs as they're going to drop off. This is the year they drop off. They're old. They don't have Duncan anymore. I mean, that's been for a while. They don't have Manu, Tony Parker anymore. That era is done. Kawhi Leonard left. How is this team still managing to stay relevant and stay in the playoff picture? But they tend to do it time and time again. Is that something that San Antonio has gotten used to, fans have gotten used to, and that they expect to carry on through next season? Or is there a little bit of concern now, like, man, maybe the drop-off really is here?
Well, the good news is Tim Duncan is back, but as an assistant coach.
That's true.
So that luster, that aura, that legendary status that he has will be back on the bench, albeit in a different capacity. So there's that. But as far as the fan base and, you know, having to fight through this every season, it's pretty much par for the course. San Antonio completely and always gets counted out. And, you know, we can almost make it like a drinking game right now. How many times you're going to hear, never count out the Spurs in the stretch run of the 2019-20 season. You're going to hear it a lot. And the Spurs get discounted because, one, they don't make sexy trades in the offseason. Their sexiest trade pass offseason was, or let me see, dealing, I should say, re-signing Rudy Gay, bringing back Tim Duncan, whiffing on Marcus Morris, yet, you know, salvaging it somehow with Trey Lyles, and adding Damari Carroll. And that's pretty much it. See, that doesn't scream, you know, home run hit out of the park move for San Antonio Spurs, and hence that's why they always get discounted. But when you have a guy by the name of Greg Popovich on that sideline still doing what he does best and leading a team to the postseason, you can't count them out. And once again, the Spurs are being counted out again. My issue is that people are not seeing the bigger picture. They're not looking past the, well, you know, Kawhi is back in the Western Conference this time with Paul George and Clipperland, and, you know, then there's AD and LeBron and the other hallway, end of the hallway at Staples Center. They're not seeing the big picture. And the big picture is when you got Pop on that sideline, coupled with the fact that this team made the postseason last year with a banged up squad from beginning to end, a horrific rodeo road trip, and having to do all of that without their starting point guard, DeJounte Murray, and having to cobble something together with Bryn Forbes and Derek White, the Spurs still made the postseason, and they gave the Denver Nuggets run until a 7-game. So it just baffles me. It baffles the Spurs fan base why they get discounted time in and time out.
I mean, you know this better than anyone, Jeff. It's all about what have you done for me lately, right? And that's maybe the
exactly.
curse that kind of plagues San Antonio Spurs, at least in the eyes of the beholders around the NBA. You make a lot of great points. I'm really glad you brought up the quote-unquote unsexiness of the offseason, because that is the epitome of what the Sacramento Kings do in free agency, right? The Kings brought back Harrison Barnes, which to us in Sacramento is a monumental move. Now, many think that the Kings overpaid. I understand that argument. I think the Kings hit the nail right on the head for what they had to do to bring him back. That was the plan all along when they traded for him. So to be able to do that, to be able to hold on to that kind of piece, plus to bring in guys like Deadman Ariza, just these not sexy pieces, but names that come in and fill holes around this young core, it was encouraging for me. Something that that perspective is lost the further outside of Sacramento you get. So I understand that completely, Jeff. But bringing back Rudy Gay, and most importantly, and you mentioned it, getting DeJounte Murray back, how significant of a difference is that? Are we looking at this team improving on what they did last year with how much better the West has gotten? You said you definitely are penciling them in as a playoff team. Where are you putting them in terms of seeding? You're talking 8-7 seed range, 6-5, or up towards the top four?
I got it somewhere between 6-8. You could pretty much predict who are going to be the top four teams as we speak, if everything goes accordingly. But it's in that 5-8 range where the Spurs will be fighting for a playoff spot. Look, you mentioned DeJounte Murray. He gets you, what, 3, maybe 4 more wins? Just him alone, his presence. Add the fact, too, that Damari Carroll is exactly the type of player the Spurs needed to get because they lacked it last year, a 3-and-D guy. And a guy who plays with a motor that won't end, something the Spurs lacked last season, just guys that have high energy. There were times where it just simply took some effort, and the Spurs may have gotten closer to the 50-win range last year. But they had a debacle in San Antonio versus the Bulls, where they blew a double-digit lead. The rodeo road trip was atrocious. How did the Spurs team lose to a Knicks team in Madison Square Garden? I was there. I witnessed it. It was not a pretty sight. And all that just came down to heart and hustle, and that's what Damari Carroll brings. Bringing back veteran Rudy Gay is also going to be a plus. Like, it was pretty obvious he was going to stay in San Antonio. He's perhaps their best guy in the starting lineup that can create his own shot as of right now at that position, at the small forward position. But this Spurs team, yeah, I predict them 6-8. I think that's where they'll be fighting for a spot. They're still trying to find their way. I think DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge will be DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge. You're not going to stop them too. But it's the fact that they're almost going to have to learn again and have another roster overhaul for a second season in a row. And I say that because of the fact that Murray will be back. Okay, there's reintegrating him into the system. He hasn't played basketball for over a year. And then there's the fact that Popovich and the coaching staff, they're really going to be uber precautious and may have him on a minutes restriction to start the season, just to exactly see where he stands. Obviously, there's training camp and the preseason, but I think Pop will kind of take it easy on the kid. I don't want to rush him back, then him re-injure something that's going to be perilous for them moving forward. Lonnie Walker, this is a guy that opened eyes in the G League last season and opened eyes this summer, in the Summer League. He more than likely is going to see a spike in minutes next season. That he's young, he's athletic, he's built like a train. He can get to the rim. He's exactly what the Spurs need on the perimeter. Now, I caution all this by saying it's going to take time. I think patience is going to be in order to start the season. You're bringing back Murray. You got Lonnie. Whatever the Spurs do with the trio of rookies that they drafted in the NBA draft, they're likely to be in Austin in the G League. Rudy Gay's back. Damari Carroll, how's he going to fit in? I think there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve for this team. But I think about two and a half months into the season, we'll really start seeing San Antonio be San Antonio and that playoff team that will be there at the end of the day.
You said the 6-8 range in the playoff picture. What team specifically do you feel the Spurs are going to be competing with in that area? Are there any teams that jump off the pages? Yeah, that feels like a team the Spurs are really going to be battling with, jockeying for position.
Your Kings. I think the Kings are going to be making some noise. I think they're going to be a team that is young, athletic, and is hungry. I think this Kings team really feels that it's ready to make the next move, and that move being into the postseason. Last season, your Sacramento Kings looked great. I mean, they started the season strong. They were exciting to watch. They were fun. They were young. Hill doing his thing. Of course, Willie Cauley-Stein, I don't believe he's with your team anymore. Is that correct?
Correct. He's in Golden State with the Warriors.
Yeah, I think that's probably the biggest loss, in my opinion, for your Kings. But nevertheless, I think they rebounded well. Another team that I think will also be in that mix of kind of screwing up with that 6-8 range is a team like maybe the Jazz. I think the Jazz made phenomenal moves in the offseason. And I think if they power their way through and everything comes together, I think there will be a team that will be in that 4-5 spot and thus creating kind of a clog where we'll see the teams like your Kings and Spurs and duke it out, so to speak, for some of the final playoff spots. Blazers will be Blazers. I think they'll be in the fight as well. But all in all, I think it's going to be a clogged bottom half. Why? Because simply the Clippers are going to be inserting themselves into the mix now. The Lakers more than likely are going to be inserting them into the mix, so something's got to give. So that's going to shove teams that we saw last year down a bit if everything pans out correctly, and then pushing down teams like a Blazer and the Jazz team. And I think we'll start seeing how that bottom half of the West will sort itself out towards the end of the next season.
So assuming the Spurs stay in the playoff picture from last year and the Lakers move their way in and the Kings move their way in, that means we need a minimum of two teams that were in the playoffs in the West last year to fall out or potentially fall out. Well, actually, they definitely need to fall out if both the Kings and the Lakers are getting in. Which two of those teams, if not the San Antonio Spurs, what two teams do you think could be or most likely are the teams that are going to fall out the West so those two teams can make their way in?
That's a great question, and there's a part of me also that says, well, if the Spurs don't get their act together and maybe drop some key games to start the season, that can come around and haunt them. I think the Spurs are one of those teams that likely could be looking at their bubble as well. But again, as of right now, this recording of this show, they should still be in there, but the Spurs are obviously going to have to be one. I got to face it. They could fall out of that 8 slots and be looking in the outside in. Your Kings, I think there's another team that could be looking on the outside in when it's all said and done. But here's the thing. My question is this. If the West is so stacked and load management is going to be what the NBA teams are looking at moving forward, then who knows? Maybe, you know, the Clippers record or the Lakers record won't be as potent, if you will, or won't be so top heavy where teams can be fighting and maybe jockeying for position. They lose a few games here, lose a few games there. You know, they're going to be looking at, well, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, what matters is the real season, which is the playoffs. You know, and teams like Kings and San Antonio, maybe a Blazers, they can be saying, well, you know what? Well, we got a shot here to make it in there. A dark horse team that could really screw things up are the Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah.
I think the Mavericks could really put a wrench in this entire thing. Porzingis will be back. Doncic will be back. This team looked great last season, and now they're getting adding a Porzingis. That could be issues for teams like your Kings and my Spurs.
I actually agree with that completely. I have spoken with a couple people that aren't too high on the Mavericks. I know some are worried about their lack of depth, but if Kristaps Porzingis can be half the player or the full player that he was in New York, adding that alongside Luka Doncic, who is sensational, fantastic rookie of the year, and we don't know how much better he can get, but we're going to assume that he's going to get better in some way, shape, or form. Maybe he hits a sophomore slump. Who knows? But that team certainly has some firepower that anybody in the West has to be aware of. You could also, I mean, I'm not personally too high on the Minnesota Timberwolves, but with Karl Anthony Towns, Wiggins there, they certainly have talent. The New Orleans Pelicans went from doom and gloom to now just a sexy roster of all these fantastic young names. The haul that they got from the Lakers, adding Zion, plus signing some veterans like J.J. Redick. I mean, there's just so much talent in the Western Conference. I think it's a coin flip. And I think it's up in the air. So that leads me to my next question for you, Jeff. If I were to put or ask you to give me a number, a minimum number that gets you into the postseason in the Western Conference this year, it doesn't have to be right. It doesn't have to be a nail right on the head. But around a range that you think is what it's going to take to get in the West and be an eighth seed, what would you say?
I would say about 48 to 51.
Wow.
I think it'd be something like that. And I say that because of the load management that teams are likely to be doing. Like Kawhi Leonard is going to get his load management. Paul George is going to get his load management. We know LeBron and AD will likely get theirs as well. Maybe a guy like Damian Lillard and the Blazers are going to take a page out of the load management and also do the same thing too. So I think teams will drop a few games here and there, but you're going to have to get at least 48 to 51 to sniff the postseason at the end of the day. You know, and I don't know how to react. I always get asked about that. What do you think about load management? I'm from the old school. I grew up seeing the Spurs' first game ever in the ABA and even into the Hemisphere Arena. And back then, players were players. And I know times have changed, and players would ride it out. But at the same time, you know, I understand that they need to take care of their bodies, and, you know, the regular season doesn't really matter. What matters is getting a good record and getting on pace in the stretch run. So I think that is why, you know, I say 48 to 51 because of the load management. And here's the thing. If 48 to 51 doesn't get you in, my goodness. I mean, it just feels like, what does the team now have to do? Do the team like the Spurs have to maybe go back to the book and say, like, okay, well, maybe we got to get a sexy a trade going in order just to be competitive. That's the weird thing about it. Just to be competitive in the Western Conference doesn't say, you know, you're in. Doesn't mean you're stamping your passport to the postseason. It's just to remain competitive. And that's what's just so insane heading into the next season, that the West is going to be so wild that you can have yourself a top talent. It may not even be enough anymore.
Final thing for you, Jeff, and thank you so much for taking the time. I really appreciate it. One thing that was big in Sacramento for us last year, besides winning 39 games, which is the most games the Kings have won since 2006, was the Kings did something last year that they've never, ever done before in their franchise history, and that was sweep the San Antonio Spurs in a regular season series. Now, I know, all in all, that doesn't mean too much. I mean, it's significant for Sacramento, who has historically struggled against San Antonio. We can go back to the playoffs and Michael Finley and Tim Duncan and those days, and that may spark some frustrations or anger or PTSD into some Kings fans' minds. But the Spurs have always been a tough egg for the Kings to crack. But the fact that the Kings had that success during the regular season against the Spurs it has led to some confidence, at least on this end of the country, that the Kings can better the Spurs if it comes to a playoff really between the two of them to get an eighth seed or to get a seventh seed. I'm curious, was it that big of a deal to you and to San Antonio that the Kings swept the Spurs, or was it like, okay, good, that's cute, we still make the playoffs, you didn't? I'm honestly curious.
Here was the fan react. The fan was more in line of, well, it happened. That's it. Why? Because they were so down on the season last year. The fan base was just simply just beat. And losing to the, not to discount your Kings, but the sentiment was, well, as expected, the Spurs are going to drop games like this because they're just not good enough. And that was the overall sentiment when the Spurs lost to the Kings twice and getting swept and the records being shattered and left and right and winning in San Antonio and how many years the Kings haven't done that. So it was more like the shoulder shrug, kind of like, well, what do you expect from this Spurs team? You know, they're hobbled, they're busted up, they're coming off the Kawhi Leonard hangover. It is what it is. That was a sentiment. It wasn't a slight at Sacramento. It was more a slight at the team saying, look how bad this team is if it can't beat Sacramento or the Knicks in Madison Square Garden or blowing a lead to the Bulls at home where the Spurs had one of the better records in their gym. So overall, I think the season last year was simply kind of just, as the kids would say, eh, you know, and losing to the Kings wasn't shocking at all.
Now, if that trend were to continue, let's say the Kings and the Spurs play three times next season and the Kings win the first two matchups heading into the third, is that what it would take to start to maybe get that respect or get that fear? Are the Spurs expected to be that much better this year that the Kings shouldn't be able to do that to them again?
I think the Spurs are expected to be better, and the mood is teams like the Kings should not be an issue for San Antonio. And of course, I think a lot of Spurs fans, and I've been very vocal about this, I like the kid, I like DeJounte Murray, but we're looking at a guy coming back who averages a little over 8 points per game and doesn't shoot the ball quite well. And so I think Spurs fans tend to jump on that, and they tend to jump on a guy like Derek White, you know, and who had a phenomenal season last year. There's no doubt about that. But can he sustain that? Will he be able to continue that? I think there's a lot of, pausing that I think Spurs fans should do ahead of the season, but they are getting better. You're bringing back DeJounte Murray, who was named to the All-NBA defensive team, second team, that is, the year before he got hurt. Derek White, obviously his stock is on the rise. Damari Carroll, the 3-and-D, a guy who can play defense on the perimeter, something the Spurs sorely lacked last year. So, yeah, I think a Spurs team next year should be able to beat Sacramento. But I can tell you this much, they will be competitive. I don't think the Kings will just roll over on their stomachs and, take a big heavy punch from San Antonio. No, I think the Kings will be competitive, but the Spurs should be able to handle Sacramento.
Well, Jeff, I got to tell you, last year I had a gut feeling that the Kings were going to be better than everybody was projecting them to. They were expected only to win around 26 games. Now, I didn't peg them to win 39, but I went out on a limb as an optimist here in Sacramento and wasn't necessarily proved right, but the gut feeling got me somewhere. And my gut feeling this year is that the Kings and the Spurs are going to be battling for a playoff spot at the end of the year, which means fantastic drama for the two of us, something that hopefully will lead to another conversation between the two of us here on the Locked On Podcast Network very, very soon. But I really appreciate you taking the time. Locked On Kings listeners, Jeff Garcia is a fantastic source for anything Spurs. That means if the Kings are about to play the Spurs and you want a preview of the game, go and listen to Locked On Spurs. Or if there's a story based around San Antonio that you're interested in, check out his work again. He is the beat writer for News 4 and Fox 29 in San Antonio. Follow him on Twitter at Jeff G Spurs Zone. That's all one Twitter handle, at Jeff SG Spurs Zone. Give him a follow. Check that out. Get your Spurs news from him. And hopefully, Jeff, we'll have another conversation here in the near future, maybe towards February or March when both these teams are really battling.
That will be great. And good luck to your Kings as well. And I know that they're looking bright for Sacramento.
Was a pleasure to have Jeff on. I think he made a lot of great points. He's certainly higher on the Spurs than many here are and many around the NBA are, but he's 100% right. It's very difficult to pick against Greg Popovich. And you know, while they didn't make very sexy moves in the offseason, they are getting Murray back. That is a significant difference for them, and by that sense, they probably should be getting a little bit better, but we also expect the Kings to get a little bit better. Kings swept the Spurs last season, so can they do it again and steal a playoff spot away? It's certainly feasible, and I'm glad Jeff was willing to recognize that and spend the time to discuss that here on Locked On Kings. Again, check him out. If you have any Spurs questions, any Spurs news, he is a fantastic source. Do not forget to take advantage of that. Bombas are the most comfortable socks in the history of feet. Plus, for every Bombas purchased, they donate a pair to someone in need. You can find out more about what feet daydream about at bombas.com/lockedon today. And you can get 20% off at bombas.com/locked. I'm sorry, that's not bombas.com/lockedon. The correct link is Bombas, that's bombas.com/locked today, and get 20% off. Thank you, Bombas, for the support of the Locked On Podcast Network. That'll do it for me today. Going to be joined by Sean Cunningham of ABC 10. Of course, you've heard him here before on the Locked On Kings podcast, one of my favorite guys to talk to, especially when it involves talking Kings. So he will be joining me on Thursday's episode of Locked On Kings this week. So hopefully you will return for that. If you have a second to leave a review wherever you listen to this podcast, whether it's on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Himalaya, Spotify, does not matter. Wherever you're listening, if there's a chance to leave a review and leave your comments and tell us how we can improve or what you like and don't like about the show, do that. It's all fair game. It helps us learn and grow. We certainly appreciate it. Finally, if you want to be a part of the conversation, do so. You can reach me on Twitter at MattGeorgeKHDK. You can also email me, mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com, at any time. Be a part of the conversation. Give me your thoughts on what Jeff said on today's podcast. Give me your thoughts on the San Antonio Spurs and how confident you are in the Kings' potential ability to surpass them in the Western Conference. It's all up for grabs, and I will do my best to respond to each and every one of you as much as I can. I know there are some emails that I have not gotten to yet, so I will try and get to them, even if they are weeks old, so please stay tuned with that. I promise you I'm not ignoring you. I've read them. I just have a lot to respond to along with my normal radio duties, so I will get back to you as best as I can. Do not stop sending in those messages and sending those comments. That's what it's all about. That's what I do this stuff for. Until Thursday, my name is Matt George. Thank you so much for listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast,
part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.